John Faso of New York's 19th District Republican. Let me ask you this. Your neighbor in the next district over, I believe the 18th, is Sean Patrick Maloney. He was on here the other day saying that he wanted to represent his constituency and yours, too. He would come over here and do that. And when you didn't show up at the Kingston meeting the other night, which he wanted you to come to, he came and he addressed the same crowd.
That's fake news, Alan. The Kingston meeting, they sent a tweet out at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. No one ever invited us to the meeting, and I had a conflict in any event. But lastly, I wouldn't have gone to that meeting anyway because it was a partisan political event organized by the opposition party. So why would anyone expect me to go to that event? Mr. Maloney, unfortunately, just 2 weeks ago, we were down at Marist College appearing at a across-the-aisle bipartisan meeting at Marist College hosted by a local business organization in the Hudson Valley. And he pledged bipartisan cooperation, saying he wanted to work together with me on issues. Though we had disagreements at the meeting on health care and a couple of other things, yes, we're going to work together. Barely 2 weeks later, he's out acting as a hyper-partisan. So,
what do you think of that, of coming into your district?
Look, I really don't care. He's a cheap shot artist, frankly. And I've observed this through the years when he worked for Elliot Spitzer, when he did the sit-in on the floor of the House of Representatives last year, which violated all the rules of decorum in the House. And look, if the people's house, if the members can't follow rules, then what do we have? We have anarchy. So see this for what it is. This is a political operative, a partisan cheap shot, and frankly, it doesn't really bother me because he's talking to a crowd that they all agree with him.
Donald Trump, how's he doing?
I think it's a mixed bag. I think Neil Gorsuch was a great selection for the Supreme Court. I think that his response to the Bashar al-Assad's use of chemical weapons in Syria was appropriate and correct and swift. I think that was important. I think his support for the State of Israel has been very good in that part of the region. And I think that the tempered, measured response and getting China to cooperate with the issue on North Korea is critical. I don't agree with him on a number of things.
How about the EPA and the cuts in the EPA?
Don't agree with that. And
why not?
Because I think it goes too far. And I think that we have, for instance, in our congressional district, a major issue with Superfund sites that exist, and I want to make sure the resources are there so that we can address these issues for communities. I want to see that we have an adequate water and wastewater treatment systems. You know, the biggest source of pollution in the Hudson River are when there are combined stormwater and sewer overflows into the Hudson River. So those issues are really important to my district. I'm also working closely with communities in the Upper Delaware River because we need to preserve that cold water fishery, working closely with people in the New York DEC that run the reservoir system. In this district, by the way, has 90% of New York's drinking water in it, in that reservoir system. I don't agree with a number of things that the president has done. I don't agree with a lot of the rhetoric on trade, and I hope to God he will stop tweeting.
Do you see yourself running for anything after Congress? Do you have something you'd rather be doing than Congress?
I'm very happy in this position. It really is a great honor to serve, and I have no plans or plans to make plans to do anything else. I'm very content in this role.
So your role on the climate solutions, which we were just talking about, you're in a caucus.
Yeah.
And what are you trying to achieve there?
Trying to get a bipartisan consensus on how do we reduce harmful CO2 emissions, but do it in a way that's economically not harmful to a district like mine.
Like what?
Well, I think we have to use incentives to try to incentivize businesses and technologies rather than the club of mandates. And so the purpose of this bipartisan group is actually to come up with these things, and we're working on
What do you got?
Well, I think there have to be technological changes. I think we need to foster as much innovation and research as we can so that we can leapfrog.
Well, he doesn't agree with that. Trump is cutting the hell out of that Department of Environmental Conservation budget.
Well, the EPA budget.
I'm sorry, the EPA budget.
And also scientific research is vitally important here. So those are the areas where I think that we should pursue and we should invest tax resources into in order to address this issue.
But he clearly doesn't.
Look, the president may have one view and the Congress may have another. That's why we have a separation of powers in our country.
Okay, so now the president said maybe it wouldn't be such a bad thing to close down the government.
Not a good idea.
Well, why did he do that?
I can't tell you, Alan. I just...
He's your guy.
I can only respond for the things that I am responsible for. And I think that I was pleased to vote for the bipartisan legislation to fund the government through the rest of the fiscal year. And I'm hopeful we can come up with a budget for the next fiscal year that is responsible, that addresses, by the way, the big issue that no one is talking about in the media and in among the public is the fact that our national debt is going to go from $19 trillion to $29 trillion in just 10 years. This would be a catastrophe for our country economically. So we've got to address this. We've got to get a faster growth in the economy, which produces more revenue and takes a little of the pressure off on our deficits.
Well, in the meantime, it has been said that he needs the repeal of Obamacare in order to come up with the money he needs for the rest of his plans. But what do you make of that? I mean, it doesn't look like he's pulling back, for example, on a great amount of money for the military.
Well, the military has been underfunded, especially in the personnel and readiness area. Where I want to really examine military spending is in procurements, because there have been very, very wasteful procurements of weapon systems. And I think that that's an area where Congress really needs to focus attention. The GAO has given us some studies, and some other studies have been done on this. So, but if you look at the pay raise that we just gave to the troops, 2.5%, if you look at the stress of multiple deployments on troops and families, if you look at the fact that we don't have enough pilot hours for helicopters and planes, if we don't have enough training missions for our naval forces, if you look at the fact that the Navy is at the risk of being at the lowest level since the end of World War I, the Army, the lowest level since the end of before World War II. So these are the things that we're attempting to address. And by the way, it's a bipartisan consensus that we should do this.
Okay, well, one last thing then. Afghanistan. The president is now saying we may need more troops in Afghanistan. In the campaign, he said no.
Yeah, I think that we should pay attention to what the military assessment is on the ground. This is going to be a continual problem. I really am dubious about the long-term strategy vis-a-vis Afghanistan. But at the same time, we've got to address the fact that this still is a major source of potential terrorist activity affecting us. And the Iranians and the North Koreans, these are extraordinarily serious things. We have to make sure we have a force that can respond to more than one threat at the same time. If our adversaries know that we are engaged somewhere and then we will not be able to engage somewhere else, that will be an invitation to disorder and disruption. And that's what we cannot afford.
I only got a couple of seconds, but I want to ask you this. The president said that being the president was harder than he had expected. Is being congressman harder than you've expected?
It's about what I expected.
Really?
The biggest thing for me is just the travel back and forth.
I don't envy you.
But it's about what I expected. I know that the level of intense public scrutiny is perhaps unprecedented. All the members of Congress are saying that. But it is about what I expected. These are contentious, controversial times, not only here in the U.S., but elsewhere around the world. There's a lot of political dislocation. There are a lot of issues that we have to face. And I hope to be able to address them in a conscientious and responsible manner.
John, thanks for being with us on the Congressional Corner. John Faso is a Republican in New York's 19th District. Thanks for coming in, John. I hope you'll continue to do so.
Thanks, Alan. Anytime.